Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of this song taken from Psalm 8. That exalts God's name in a wonderful way. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. How great thy name! Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great thy name! Thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great thy name. Certainly it is that, and the earth exalts the name of God. The heavens declare His glory.
Oh,
reading today from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the words of Christ to Nicodemus, who came to him by night. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's give thanks for this message. Is a message that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and continues to speak to us. And as we have considered some time ago, Paul's words to Timothy, Paul directing him and stating, preach the word. We must preach the word of God. And here we have the word of Christ. As Paul said, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Let's pray to God through him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, giving thanks in his name for what has been given, asking in his name for what is needed. And we give thanks that we can come to thee even when we do not know what we need, that we can be told, that we can be given, that we can make to see what we need, even to see thy kingdom, and along with it, to be made willing to enter that kingdom by both the birth of the Spirit and the birth of water and the Spirit, or the Word and the Spirit, the message preached. Thou hast told us by the pen of Paul that by the foolishness of preaching thou dost save those that believe. And we pray that even today we might rightly have believed, so we can preach this word, so we can see thy kingdom. If we have not been born of the Spirit, we know that we are left blind. Lord Jesus, you have said that if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Help us to know and believe those solemn words and to examine ourselves whether or not we do see thy kingdom in the right way. We know, sadly, there is much division within the church and much separation. And we pray that thou wilt make the church one by thy word and spirit, by reproving it, by correcting it, by instructing it, and by chastening it wherever it is needed, that we may have what we need to be brought to that place in answer to thy prayer, Lord Jesus, that they may be made one for the purpose that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray that that might take place in our generation, if it could be thy will, for both Jew and Gentile. We pray it for the church and for the world. We pray it for ourselves and for others, for this generation, us who are older and the younger. We pray, Father, that thou would bring all of us to see thy kingdom and to make us to see that blessing of entering into it by faith through Christ, the door. We pray that thou will now teach us from these words and from all of thy word. We pray also for the temporal blessings needed by some that are in sickness, injury, sorrow, broken homes, older age, hunger, homelessness, all the war-torn lands and suffering. We pray, Father, for the schools, pray for government, pray for our leaders, pray that thou would put thy fear in them and thou would protect them when they are right from the evil forces that would destroy them, that they also may be saved. As thou hast said, thou wouldst have all men to be saved. And we pray that we and others might come to that today through Christ. Amen. Here, John writes, there was a man of the Pharisees. Later in Scripture, we read Paul describing himself as one of the Pharisees and said that they were the strictest sect of the Jews. They were what we might call orthodox, conservative. They were the ones that had the truth, at least in the letter, and sometimes were accused by the Lord Jesus of only washing the outside the cup. We know the danger was there, but here Christ shows us what we must have on the inside, what we must have by the Spirit, what we must see not with the natural eye, but with the spiritual eye, to see God's kingdom, that kingdom that is apart from the earth. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, speaking of the resurrection, but speaking of the things earthly and speaking of the things heavenly. Paul also tells us about Abram, who had here no abiding city, but he looked for the city of whom God was the builder and the maker. And that is the city that we must all look to and enter into by faith, the way of God's kingdom, that of which the Lord Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Another one of the gospel writers record where he stated, to repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If we do repent, then we will want to believe the gospel. We will know the need of it. But if there's no repentance, we may believe it historically, but not in experience. And here we have experience, seeing, entering in, stopping from being in the perishing way, entering into eternal life. Another statement, Christ said, everlasting life, and then describing our sin, loving darkness rather than light, and even worse than that. Everyone that does evil hates the light. We want to stay in the dark. We do not want to be found out and reproved. And we need the new birth to make us willing to do that, to see the kingdom as it is. A kingdom made up from God for sinners. A kingdom prepared by God that we can enter into the kingdom of God by faith. Christ being the door. And here we have that message from him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus says, how can that be? Must he go the second time into his mother's womb? Then Christ explains it further, stating, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then describing it further in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Both again and above. Every one of us that can hear today has been born. Born of our mother in a fleshly way. But before we can enter God's kingdom, we must be born of the Spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh, only flesh. As Paul would state of himself, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul describes the flesh as striving against the Spirit. So the Spirit must overcome the flesh. The Spirit must open the way that our flesh would want to keep closed, hating the light. There are many different descriptions of it through Scripture. I think of Ephesians, where Paul describes us in our natural condition. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here Paul describes the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, making us children of wrath or under God's wrath because of what we want to do, what we want to have, what our desires are, how we walk. That's the wrong way. It is the way of the whole world, as Paul says, even as others. We were part of the rest of the world. If we are God's children now, we were like the rest before the beginning of God's work in us. And as Paul then describes, basically, the new birth taking place, he states in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, or when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This we must see as an explanation of the new birth taking place here, what they were before the new birth, and what took place when we read, but God, who was rich in mercy, what he did then, quickening us together with Christ, his Son. And then he sums it up, that great salvation, in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There we have applied what Christ said was needed, John recording it for Nicodemus. Here we have the new birth spoken of as needed, and in Ephesians we have the new birth as given to that church after it had its wonderful beginning. Here we read twice of the new birth. We read also twice of the gospel. We read twice of our sin. Many times these things repeated in different ways to make it very plain, even though it was not plain to Nicodemus, and sadly is not plain to many today. There's much division on what the new birth is. Some believing, as it is stated here, as much the new birth from others, from God, as our first birth was totally from our mother, father. It wasn't of ourself. We didn't born ourself. And we don't born ourself into the kingdom of God either. Some want to say that you do this and you will be born again. If that is true, that you can do that, then you don't have to be born again. Then you were born. That's why you did what you did. There must have been life. But as we read from Ephesians 2, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, sinning, but dead in it, not knowing it, in pride, in unbelief, not seeing the kingdom of God. That's where we were, each and every one of us. Some may be brought into the kingdom younger, some older, but all of us together. And Nicodemus seemed to understand that when he says, can a man be born when he is old and enter the second time into his mother's womb? We don't know exactly how old Nicodemus was, but he seemed to describe himself as an older person and asked if he could have that birth over again. So he knew it had to be the second time. And some don't want to admit that. Some just say it's from above, but not a second time. Nicodemus didn't understand it rightly. Later, Christ said, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? And yet he knew it better than some people know it today. He knew it had to be again. Some only argue and say it's only from above. It's not again. Some want to say, I had the Spirit all my life. I never had to be born again. And even go so far as to say, I never had to be saved. I was always saved. Saved? If you were always saved, why did you have to be saved? Saved is being saved from something. Saved from guilt. Never were guilty. We're always guilty to a certain extent after we're saved as well. Not in the same way. If we're saved, one difference is there. We know our guilt. We know with David, we have sinned more than the hairs of our head. I was in a horrible pit, miry clay. And Christ makes that very plain here to Nicodemus and to us. You are included when he said, not first of all, just an objective sense, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, verse 18. And then this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Some of us might think, yeah, that's those over there, they're in darkness, the heathen, we're in the light. We always had the gospel. But the next verse includes you and me. Every one that does evil hates the light. Do you dare to say that you never were evil? Never had an evil thought? Never spoke an evil word? Never did an evil deed? If you want to think that and say that, you are guilty right now of one of the greatest sins that God hates, pride. God won't bless you. The scripture tells us God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And there are some, I've heard them say, I've always loved the Lord. None of us have ever loved the Lord as we should. What you are really saying, if you say, I always loved the Lord, and you keep yourself in that state and think you always have been there, then God did not have to love you and give his only begotten Son for you. You were not then the perishing one. God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christ makes it plain in what he's talking about. He didn't just give Christ to teach, to do miracles, to do that in the world. He first of all stated, before he gave that wonderful statement in verse 16, what he had to himself experience in a terrible way. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross. And when we do not see that, we are proving that we need the new birth. We need to see the kingdom of God. We need to see God's righteous kingdom. We need to see ourselves out of it. Because Christ said plainly, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You have to be lost to be saved. Yes, saved from being lost apart from God. The same as those that Paul writes to later in the church. You were without hope and without God in the world. We may have the form of godliness. We may wash the outside of the cup as the Pharisees did. We may have all those things. And Paul had them as much as anybody else. He said, if anybody have anything to lay claim on, he did. A Pharisee, like this one here. But he said, I count all those things but dung that I may win Christ. They were worthless in comparison of the one whom God gave to die for my sin. My only hope, no other hope. Is he your hope? Is he your sin bearer? Did he bear that on the cross and shed his blood to wash away your sin? I need it, but I wish I would know it even better, to know the need of it. If we all did, we'd have revival. We'd have the beginning of it. We'd do more prayer. Let's begin to pray. Lord, teach me.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.